And good morning. My apologies for being late. Indeed, Hanukkah gives its own challenges amongst them. Not everything goes as planned, which is exactly the topic of this morning's shiur. And that is what happens when, indeed, Hanukkah is a day in which you cannot do everything you usually do on Hanukkah. Hanukkah has two basic obligations. There's no obligation to eat sufganiyot or levivot. That's absolutely a custom, and you can do without it, and I'm sure your doctors will be happy. However, there are two obligations on Hanukkah, and what are they? Lighting candles each night, and saying Hallel. That's the two obligations. You can add Al Hanisim into a Hallel, simply because it's also a form of Thanksgiving. To make a long story short, a true question this year someone asked me. He called me up, he said he's serving in a certain unit, and he basically can do one of two things, either light candles at night, or daven in the morning. He cannot do both. I said, are you serious? You can't do both? Oh, I can't do both. So immediately I told him, well, you know, you should daven in the morning for the following reason. After all, at night, you can basically ensure that you fulfill your obligation of lighting Hanukkah candles by virtue of the home you live in. So tell your parents that they should light Hanukkah candles. That's the basic obligation. And even though we're Ashkenazim and each person lights, obviously you can rely on the Shulchan Aruch on this. And basically, each from this perspective, they're light for you at home. And then you'll fulfill your mitzvah of Hallel in the morning. So take the night shift and not the morning shift.
Can he turn on a flashlight?
A good question. It's very much dependent upon, A, does the flashlight have a real bulb in it with a filament? B, even if it does, is that good enough for Hanukkah candles or not? We dealt with this once a few years ago when we talked about someone on a plane. What should he do? So it's very fishy. But the bottom line is he said he cannot do that. He cannot light a flashlight where he is at night. That's not possible for a very simple reason. He's in the middle of somewhere without. What do you need for Hanukkah candles, beyond Hanukkah candles?
People.
Unless you're a Chabadnik, what do you need?
People.
People? No, he actually has people, but that's true. You can probably light even if you don't have people. That's the way we paskin lahalacha. But I'm talking about something else, Tzvi. What else do you need? Nair? That he has. Ish? He's a human being.
Beito.
Beito. He's not in a place which is a home. He can't light in the middle of nowhere. So that's not possible in his case. So I told him, at home they're lighting for you. That's good enough. Rav Avadya Yosef Paskins Lahalocha, that Sephardi yeshiva bachers should not light candles where they are because they're lighting at home. Simple. Right? And then he told me another piece of information, which I didn't take into account. Yes, Bruce. Very simple. A tent may be a home for you that night because you're sleeping there. He is not in a tent. He's on guard duty. He's in a place where he does not have what we call a home, which means the four walls or a tent.
I mean, it wouldn't publicize the nays lighting anyway.
It would 100% publicize the nays to light in the middle of the street, and we should all do it. But the Chachamim's takana was to light connected to the home. So as I said, outside of Chabadnikim that have this unique shita on this, the majority of poskim say you need a home, you need a petach, you need a window. You can't just light in the middle of the street. So he told me a piece of information which I did not take into account, nor did I ask. He happens to be a Haredi soldier that's no longer Haredi. Baruch Hashem Shomer Shabbos, but Haredi he is not. And therefore, his parents disowned him because he went into the army. Because his parents disowned him, he doesn't have a home. He has a home that the army gave him, and that's it. So basically, he has no one to light for him at home. It's a very sad question to be asked, but a true question, and I'm sure he's not alone on this. So to make a long story short, he has what I call a triage question of Hanukkah. What's the triage question? We usually deal with triage in a facility like a hospital. This is triage in halacha. What comes first? Hanukkah candles or Hallel? Which is the more important aspect of Hanukkah? He can choose one of the other. So,
buy into someone else's, can he give money into someone else's oil and he owns it that way?
So Arthur is referring to a Gemara called talks about a achsenai, someone that you're hosting over Hanukkah, namely, he doesn't live there, but he's sleeping over. And then the Gemara says exactly what Arthur said. You should give him a pruta, and you're mishtatev, you're a partner in his lighting of the menorah. But Arthur, that would only be true if he's there, or if he's sleeping there. In this case, he's not sleeping there. So he doesn't have what we call in the status of a achsenai, because he's not being hosted by anyone. He's on guard duty. He's doing what he's doing. He started to explain to me what he's doing, but he was very, very careful because of a security clause he's under. But the bottom line is that he cannot light a Hanukkah menorah and say halal. He has to pick one of the other. So I basically said to him that in my very humble opinion, never dealing with this question before, I believe that if you say you can say halal during the day, then halal doesn't come alone. Quantity-wise, what comes together with halal? Tefillah. Derabanan, but important. What else? Tefillah is probably derabanan. According to the Rambam, once a day, every day, it's the Oraisa. However, important. What else? Kriyat Shema. What else?
With Kriyat Shema, you can probably do any time.
Yes. Tefillin. So I thought in my mind that the way this soldier is and where he is, it would be better to say, indeed, Hallel, not Hanukkah candles. So he's not going to mekayim that mitzvah that's so associated with Hanukkah. But if he does Hallel, then he's also doing Kriyat Shema, and he's also putting on tefillin, and he's also davening. So Baruch Hashem, he's doing much more during the day than at night. Having said that, we have to take into consideration that there are halachic rules regarding how do you administer mitzvot when you can pick and choose. And I want to deal with this today in three different scenarios. The first is the one I just presented. The second scenario is a little different, and that is if you have wax candles in your menorah, and then you get oil, so you take your wax candles out and put in the oil, because you can do the mitzvah in a more mehudar way. And number three, if you could basically plan out the next few days, do you go ahead and give up a mitzvah now for a mitzvah later? Namely, if you have two fast days, Tzom Gedalia and Yom Kippur, and you can only fast one, that's what the doctor told you, do you say Tzom Gedalia no, Yom Kippur yes, because Yom Kippur is the Oraisa and Tzom Gedalia is the Rabbanan minus. Those are the three things we're going to deal with today. So, in my mind, I thought Halal would be better. However, as I said earlier, there are rules that administer these things, and it's not so simple to say Halal is better. And I'll tell you why. Does everybody know the story of the guy in the jail, or no? The guy in jail who was told you can get out of jail once a year, which day should he pick? Remember that story? No. Okay, so we'll have to go in order this morning and see which one we're going to do and how. So everybody ready? Let's begin. So, if you look on the screen, everyone sees the screen? Motzei Shabbos, we have a mitzvah of Havdalah, and you're not going to eat before Havdalah. You can drink water, but you can't eat. So what happens if a person, Motzei Shabbos, sits down at a table, didn't make Havdalah yet? Adam sheshachach lekadesh ad achar sheberech birchas ha-motzei v'nizkar kodem sheachal on a Motzei Shabbos, and he's not allowed to eat, what is he supposed to do? Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech ha'olam, ha-motzei lechem min ha'aretz. Whoops! I forgot Havdalah. So what are you supposed to do? Says the Rama, eat, because if not, what are you going to have? You're going to have a bracha, levatala, right? Explains the Mishnah Brura, kedei shelo yeh bracha levatala, v'achar kach tzarich lafsik v'lavdil. Right? Bracha levatala is indeed more on a higher level than the mitzvah of not eating before Havdalah. Mitzvah of not eating before Havdalah is whatever it is, but I would say it's a corollary of the mitzvah aseh, be it deraisa or derabanan, to make Havdalah. But not saying bracha levatala is a pure answer. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. The Rabbi Akiva Eiger is a little different on this. He seems to say it's very much dependent if Havdalah is the Oraisa or the Rabbanan. And since we paskin the Rabbanan, then indeed the bracha levatala is more important. However, the Maharami Rutenberg, who was generations before the Ramah, says otherwise. He says you should make Havdalah first. Why? It's usher to eat before Havdalah. So as you can see here, we have a very clear example of triage. Here we are. In a normal world, you make Havdalah and then you eat. The person forgot. What is he supposed to do? What is more important? Well, I'll give it to you in a different way. A person waits 6 hours between meat and milk. Shabbos are very short now during the day. A person's about to eat pizza Motzei Shabbos. He makes the bracha. I'm not going to go into what bracha you make on pizza. That's like the most controversial issue we can ever bring up in the Kollel. What bracha do you make on pizza? I have an opinion on this, but that's like, if you want to get into controversy, you bring that up. Right? Shake your head, Tzvi. That's true. In any case, Arthur, the bottom line is, if he makes a bracha and then says, oh my gosh, I'm fleishik, what does he do? So these are real questions that come up. So getting back to our story, this question of what do you do on Hanukkah, if indeed you can pick one or the other, true life question, goes to the very fabric of halachic rules such as mitzvah haba'aliyatcha al tachmitzena. If you have a mitzvah in hand, don't give it up. Second rule, the mitzvah of zrizin makdimin lemitzvot. Number three, hider mitzvah. Number four, tadir v'sheino, tadir kodim. All these things come into play on our question. These are basic halachic rules that we have to plug in to our question. And they all come back, in my opinion, to one famous halacha. And that is the halacha of going on a boat 3 days before Shabbos. Now, what does a boat have to do with Hanukkah? Very simple. A boat not going 3 days before Shabbos is a rabbinic enactment. So in a rabbinic enactment, there's rules and regulations of how far you have to go for rabbinic enactments. So the halacha is that mutar laflig b'sfina afilu be'erev Shabbos im olech lidvar mitzvah. If you're going for a good reason, it doesn't just mean a mitzvah in this regard, then you can go even on erev Shabbos on a plane. But lidavar ha-reshut stam for a tiyul, you shouldn't go 3 days before Shabbos, and there's various reasons why not. Maybe because you may be mechalel Shabbos. Maybe it's because the boat's going to start shaking, you'll get car sick. Excuse me, boat sick. What's it called? Not boat sick. Seasick. Seasick, thank you. And you'll get seasick, and ultimately you won't be able to eat chulent on Shabbos. Whatever the reason might be, this is a live example of how far do you have to go in order not to violate mitzvot, or to be more precise, in order to fulfill mitzvot. Namely, how far do I have to go to plan my life out in advance in order to fulfill mitzvot? So Shabbos is coming.
When you're talking about a boat, you're talking about Rashi, says not lighting, but you're talking about the boat when it doesn't have a roof.
I'm not talking about a boat in Hanukkah right now. I'm talking about a boat going on any boat trip before Shabbos, every week. Make a long story short, the halacha, as I'm quoting it here from Shulchan Aruch, says that ultimately you can't go 3 days before Shabbos, and the same thing is true with regard to a tiyul in the Midbar. Namely, ultimately, if you went 3 days before Shabbos and then came Shabbos, you have to mechalel Shabbos, that's what you got to do, because that's your agenda right now. You have to mechalel Shabbos because there's a sakonas nefashos. However, you can't put yourself in that situation from Wednesday, but from Tuesday you can. So as you could see here, the halacha did not say that in order not to violate the law of Shabbos, you have to never leave your house. But rather, the chachamim put a cap to it. 3 days, if there's a probability that on Shabbos you'll have to mechalel Shabbos, then up to 3 days before Shabbos, you can go out From 3 days before Shabbos, the probability goes up, you shouldn't. And that's the halacha. So we see here, it all comes down to a live example of how far do you have to go in order to fulfill mitzvot. So if you would have asked me, I would have said, based on this, since there's no takana with regard to Hanukkah candles, then the halacha is going to be very simple. Whatever comes first. You know, you don't have to plan out your life. Whatever comes first. So it happens to be that he can take the night shift. He doesn't have to take the night shift. So that comes first. Sunday night came before Monday morning when we first said Hallel. So that would be good enough. Right? Mitzvah baliyatcha tachmitzena. We don't go along and do it. There's no takana derabanan on this regard. That's what you have to do. But lo and behold, on this very question, I actually found a source that's mefurash. I don't have to go into my mind and think, how do we plug in all these rules and regulations into this question? But rather, I be honest with you, this question is actually clear in the sources. What do I mean clear in the sources? Have you heard of the Nishmat Avraham? Now, the Nishmat Avraham is a book on medical questions for religious doctors. It's one of the most amazing volumes. It goes on the Seder of the Shulchan Aruch, and ultimately it brings questions that would come up. So Rav Avram Sofer in the Nishmat Avraham asks this very question, not about a soldier, but about a doctor who has rotations in the hospital, and ultimately, when he's in the hospital, he cannot do other mitzvot. He has to be with the patients. Rofe betoranut, sheyachol lekabel chofesh ba'erev kedei sheyuchal ladlik ner Chanukah. Oh! Chofesh mugdam baboker, v'az yuchal litpalel shacharit im halel, ma'adif. And he brings a machlokes, achronim. On the one hand, the Chochmat Shlomo. Have you heard of the Chochmat Shlomo, the wise Shlomo? Why is he called wise Shlomo? Because Shlomo was the wisest of all men. And his name was Shlomo. His real name, Rav Shlomo Kluger. Have you heard of him? Rav Shlomo Kluger. There's a famous responsum called Ha'alef Lecha Shlomo, 1,000 questions to Shlomo. Very long tshuvas. I don't know many people who read them all. The Chochmat Shlomo is a bit shorter, and these are one of his tshuvas. Rav Shlomo Kluger, we're talking about Rav Shlomo Kluger, 1785 to 1869, says, Im echad haya bitfisa. Stop. What's tfisa? What's tfisa? Anyone? Jail. A person's in jail. And he can get out of jail, la'asot rak mitzvah achat. He can get out once a year to do what mitzvah? Which is it? During Hanukkah. Im yadlik neirot, o yitpalel shacharit behalel voda, says Rav Shlomo Kluger. What's the better thing to do? What I said, v'yeyivchar bezesh yitpalel baboker behalel vehoda. Adif, says Rav Shlomo Kluger, what's the better of the two? You should daven Hallel in the morning. It's better than Hanukkah tanners. And what does he say is the source of his psak halacha? V'hu al derech ha-mevuar v'hilchot Rosh Hashanah siman tov kuf tzadik hei ayen sham betamo. Does anyone know what he's talking about? Anyone? Hilchot Rosh Hashanah. Hilchot Rosh Hashanah is one of the many places in Jewish law that we have a triage of the following. There's two mitzvot on Rosh Hashanah. To hear the shofar and to daven musaf. Now, if you can't do both, one place is davening musaf with a minyan. The other place is blowing shofar. Which do you do? The halacha is, you go to the place that's shofar, even if it's a suffix that they have a shofar or not, because shofar, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, and musaf may be d'oraisa, but it's probably d'rabbanan. There's a Rashi that seems to allude to the fact that Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot, that we say on Rosh Hashanah is d'oraisa, but in general, musaf is d'rabbanan. To make a long story short, that is the source of Rav Shlomo Kluger. I don't understand, for the life of me, how one has to do with the other. Because we paskin that Hallel on Hanukkah and Hanukkah candles are both the Rabbanan. In Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, shofar blowing is the Oraisa. Musaf is the Rabbanan, so there I understand the Psak. Here it's hard for me to understand it unless I assume the following. Hallel may be the Oraisa, not necessarily every paragraph we say. Every time the Chazan sins Yevarech et Beit Yisrael, that might not be the Oraisa. But the notion of giving thanks to God for a miracle has its sources in a Oraisa. There's Gemaras about it. When we talk about Yom HaTzma'ut Hallel, we always talk about these Gemaras. So there, maybe there's a Yesod, the Oraisa. Hanukkah candles as a pure Derabbanan. There's no source in the Torah for Hanukkah candles. So maybe that's what he means. Hallel's on a higher level because it has its sources in a Oraisa. Hanukkah candles is pure Derabbanan. However, the Nishmat Avram quotes his Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, disagreeing with this. Why? For a very simple reason. Arthur, when you said Hallel, you're saying Hallel. But when you light Hanukkah candles, you're fulfilling a mitzvah, plus, what else is there? Where did you light last night? By a window? Persume Nisa. Persume Nisa. Namely, when you fulfill Hallel, you're mekayim a mitzvah. When you light Hanukkah candles, you're mekayim two mitzvahs. You're lighting Hanukkah candles, and you're publicizing the miracle. And therefore, he says, when you have two mitzvahs, one is a kiyum of one, the other is a kiyum of two, so you should do the one that's a kiyum of two. And of course, he says, try to daven shachris, try to say kriyat shema, try to do what you can, but the bottom line is, that's what he says is more important. So we see a fascinating machlokas here. Namely, when it comes to this question that we're dealing with this morning, Hallel versus Hanukkah candles, which is more important? Do you go by what I call its definition halachically? Namely, does it have a source in a Doraisa or not? Or do you go not by its definition halachically, namely its source, but rather its result? How many mitzvot did you mekayim if you did it? According to Hallel, it's one mitzvah. If according to Hanukkah candles, it's two mitzvot. So what do you go by? Do you go by the source or the result? The source, Hallel's on a higher level. The result, Hanukkah candles has two kiyumim. Personal and public, Hanukkah candles should be the preference. So as you can see, it's a very fascinating machlokas between Rav Shlomo Kluger and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. If you like the two Shlomos, okay? Not the same generation at all. Rav Shlomo Kluger says, Hallel. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, Hanukkah candles. Source versus result. And if you think of many, many halachic issues of triage, we can deal with the very same question. Which is more important? Namely, when you take something like Shachris on Shabbos. Shachris on Shabbos has its source perhaps in a Doraisa, at least according to the Rambam, as Tzvi alluded to. Davening once a day, every day, is a Doraisa. Not so when it comes to other parts of davening like Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah, with the greatest respect, is indeed a derabanan, pure derabanan. So if you go by the source, there's no question Shachris is more important. So if you have to choose what to do in a minyan, I would say Shachris. On the other hand, Kriyas HaTorah is both learning Torah and reminiscent of the Har Sinai experience. And unlike Shachris, can only be done in a minyan. So maybe we should prefer the result. Namely, there's more to Kriyas HaTorah in terms of results than it is to just Shachris. Akan regarding this question. Namely, the question of what is more important on Hanukkah. Hanukkah candles or Hallel? I just want to say, in parentheses, before we go on, that you could see here that even though I would say intuitively, we always say Hanukkah candles is more important because that's where the whole family gets together. That's unique. Hallel we do on every Yom Tov, so big deal. You can see here that at least according to these poskim, both are equal. We have to make a call. But it's not saying, all right, Hanukkah candles for sure. Nobody said that. They dealt with it. They came to their conclusions. But the bottom line is, no one came out and said, oh, Hanukkah candles for sure, because that's unique for Hanukkah versus Hallel. Okay? So Bruce is saying, Tadir v'she'ino tadir, tadir kodem. Whatever is more frequent is more important. But Bruce, when do we use that rule? Even though what I'm about to say is a bit of a point of controversy, but in general, when do we say that rule? Not when you have a mitzvah at night, and then 12 hours later, another mitzvah. But rather, when you take your talis bag, and you're about to mekayim two mitzvot, talis and tefillin, and they're both in front of you, a minute apart, and the question is, what do you do first? Right? You're making Kiddush Friday night, you have to say the bracha of Kiddush, and Borei Pri HaGefen. Borei Pri HaGefen you say all week, if you drink wine or grape juice, not so with regard to Kiddush. That's Tadir V'She'ino Tadir, they're coming at the same time. Versus this question, where it's not at the same time. Hanukkah candles is at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and Hallel is the next morning. Right? I will say, Bruce, there are those that paskin like you. That Tadir V'She'ino Tadir would even come to say it if there's a 12-hour gap. But I find that to be very problematic, at least in terms of Lumdish. But it's there. You should know. You're not totally and utterly off. It's there.
Right away.
Okay, that's exactly it. Thinking about this, if you get to the night before the day, meaning that Sunday night, he happened to get the Hanukkah candles, he could take the morning shift. Maybe mitzvah haba aliyatcha al tachmitzena. Exactly. However, Rav Shlomo Kluger, you should know, does not paskin that way. He says you're in jail. You can decide one or the other, and he says wait for Hallel. So it's out there, you should know. Yes. Any others?
Yeah. Why can't you light the Hanukkah during the day without a bracha and then extinguish it before the night the next day?
Lighting Hanukkah candles during the day has no kiyum. Shraga b'tiara mahave, namely, the Gemara says, shraga, a light b'tiara, during the day means nothing because nobody sees it. Nobody is able to discern that you're lighting Hanukkah candles because there is light outside. Even though Baruch Hashem today we have rain in Israel, you still can't see the light. So therefore, you don't enjoy it by looking at it. You can't have hana, but you can look at it, obviously. And no one can see it outside. So during the day is no kiyum. Arthur is correct that we have a minhag to light Hanukkah candles in shul during the day. That's based on the Rambam's very unique shita that in the Beis Hamikdash, they used to light Hanukkah candles. Not Hanukkah candles. They used to light the menorah, the real menorah, during the day as well, not just at night, right? So since lighting in shul is reminiscent of that Beis HaMikdash experience, we light during the day as well, albeit without a bracha, to mekayim the Rambam, right? But, Arthur, there is a big difference, because in shul, you have a minyan, or more than a minyan there, people see the Hanukkah candles. If you put a Hanukkah candle right now in your window, I'm pretty sure no one's going to see it, simply because it's light outside. Not to mention, you'll probably not notice it because there's light in the house. Okay. Atkan this question. But it got me thinking about another triage question, and that is the following question that I have to admit happened once to me. What do I mean? Once upon a moon, if you recall, we did not go to the store and buy the 44 ready-made oil with the cups in it. Hanukkah was about the following experience. You would have little cups, you would pour the oil in it, then you'd put the wick in this piece of cardboard, and then you'd say Tehillim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, praying with all your might that this should float and not sink. And sometimes, Arthur, it did not sink, it floated. And then you made a bracha, and you prayed to God as you're making the bracha silently in your heart, Right? Because Chotmin Bishnayim, you can't add two brachas to one bracha. You have to say it in your heart, may this light. And that was the way we used to light Hanukkah candles, correct? Well, when that was the shita and you didn't have the ready-made cups, then many, many a times, you know, some of the wicks didn't work. Some of them didn't go in, and you ultimately got very upset. Not to mention when you poured oil in, some of it poured on the ground. So by the 7th, 8th day of Hanukkah, maybe you ran out either of wicks or of oil because it didn't work out. Right? This is the olden times. So lo and behold, one year, I ran out of wicks. So what did I do? It was time to light Hanukkah candles, and I'm a cheapskate, so I ultimately used regular candles. Right? It's mitzvah min hamuvchar to use oil, but I used regular candles for the 7th night or 8th night. Halachically, it's kosher to do. And then my wife came home, and lo and behold, she bought more oil. She wasn't a cheapskate like me. What do I do now? Do I take the candles I've already set in my menorah out to put in the oil or not? Now, it's a bit of a triage question because it was time to light. It was 5 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever. Do I now waste my time, quote unquote, not light exactly on time, that according to the Rambam is le'ikuva? You have to light at shkia according to the Rambam, not earlier and not later. That's the only time to light. So ultimately, even though we don't paskin that way, do I take out the Neirot Sha'ava, the wax candles, and put in the oil, which is a mitzvah min hamufcha? Right? Let's say on Sukkos, you have an etrog that the pitum broke off on the 3rd day of Sukkos. Does this ever happen to anyone here? It happened to me this year. Around the 5th or 6th day of Sukkos, I forgot I'm davening outside because Corona is indeed still with us, unfortunately. And it was a windy day, and I put my etrog down to take out my lulav, and the etrog fell on the floor because of the wind, and ultimately the pitum broke. Halachically, according to many poskim, you can still make a bracha on an etrog with a broken pitum after the 1st day of Sukkos. Right? It's a machlokas rishonim, Ramban, and Tosfos. If indeed a pitum breaking is a psul hadar or a psul chaser. If it's a psul like this, it's okay after the 1st day. If it's a psul like that, it's not okay after the 1st day. So, I know the Shulchan Aruch says it's okay, right? But my son is davening with me. So what did he do? He benched his lulav and esrog and gave me his esrog. So should I take his esrog or not? You understand the question? Okay, they're about to say Hallel. Should I take his esrog? He'll be without it. These are triage questions that happen. So, if you put in the wax candles, then your wife came home with the oil, what do you do? Says the Shvus Yaakov, Rav Yaakov Reischer. Mi shekvar itchil achin adlik b'deirot shel shava yigmor ha-mitzvah. He seems to say, not that you started to light, but lahachin. They're in the Chanukiah. And he brings a few rayas for his shita. One of them is the Gemara that talks about Tuma Hutra Bitzibur. Have you ever heard that term, Tuma Hutra Bitzibur? Namely, if you have to bring a Korban Tzibur, a communal sacrifice, and everyone is in Tuma, you can still bring it. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if everyone's impure, it's okay. Well, let's assume that the actual rotation of Kohanim, we have Kohanim here, they're all Betuma. Okay? They're all Betuma. The ones that are not Betuma are not there. So you can bring the Korban. And at the last minute, as the person's about to bring the Korban, they say, hey, look what happened. Harold came in. Harold's a Kohen. He's not Betuma. Give it to him. Says the Gemara. You don't do that. If indeed he was part of the original Mishmeret that's on duty, then yes, look for someone that's not Betuma. Just like if you have oil in the cupboard, use the oil and not the wax. But if you're about to bring the Korban, just like the wax candles are already in the menorah, then you leave it there and you don't take it out. If I can just quote his words, the Mishum Mitzvah Min HaMuvchar and Levazot Mitzvah Rishona Shekvar Hitchilba. And then the Shmuz Yaakov goes on. He brings other rayas from what he says. On Erev Shabbos, you want to take a haircut. So you go to the barber. Can you do that? Not Samach Lemincha. What's Samach Lemincha? You remember Samach Lemincha from Erev Pesach. Samach Lemincha is the half an hour before Mincha Ketana, from our perspective. There are those that say Mincha Gedola. We'll say Mincha Ketana. So Mincha Ketana is 9.5 hours into the day. 9 hours into the day, a half an hour before that, you can't sit before a barber because we're worried you won't daven Mincha. But im itchilu, ein mafsikin. When it comes to the Rabbanans, once you started, you don't stop. If it's a Doraisa, you have to stop, like for Kriyat Shema or Sheik Lulav on the first day. But a Derabanan, like Mincha, or Sheking Lulav on the second day of Sukkot, or that's in Israel, outside of Israel, third day and on, then we say, if you started, you don't stop. Okay? So basically, the candles are already in the Chanukiah, you melt them in. Arthur, if I mentioned the wicks with the oil, melting in candles is one of the worst aspects of Hanukkah. It never works well. Unless you have a Chanukiah with the smallest little cups that you can just stick it in, it doesn't work. And then the small ones, the wax melts in it, so you can't get it in the second day and the third day. So once your kids get to an age where they don't need the wax candles, you have a much more pleasant Hanukkah experience. Well, you finally got the 7 candles in, and your wife came home with the oil, says the Shmuz Yaakov, you don't change it. Why don't you change it? Because you already started the mitzvah. Okay. The one who disagrees with him is the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi, who's the father of Rav Yaakov Emden. The Chacham Tzvi was called the wise Tzvi. Rav Tzvi Ashkenazi. Why was he called Ashkenazi? Because he was a rabbi in a Sephardic community. Correct? When you're in a Sephardic community and you're an Ashkenazi, they call you derogatory names because you're not on the level of the Sephardim. But he was their beloved rabbi, so he was called Rav Tzvi Ashkenazi. Arthur, what are you laughing? Once a year, twice a year, I make sure to go to a Sephardi shul because I want to know what it's like for a Baal Tshuva to daven. You ever seen a Baal Tshuva daven? What do you think? It's simple for him to know what page we're on, when to stand, when to sit. He always gets mixed up. So once a year, at least, I mock to go to Sephardi shul to understand what it means to be a Baal Tshuva. I stand up, everyone looks at me. What are you standing up for? Baruch Hu. We don't stand up for Baruch Hu. Okay. Then the chazan starts chazaning every word out loud. Amazing. And then he uses chet and ayins. I don't know what he's saying. Right? You get a Moroccan there who starts saying some vavs are a W and not a vav. You're even more mixed up. Right, Arthur? So what are you laughing? So I go to the Sephardi shul, and indeed, they're giving a shir between Mincha Ma'ariv, and the guy says, Achenu ha-Ashkenazim ha-Vuzvuzim. That's a derogatory term for an Ashkenazi, and he looks at me. I feel good once a year. If I'm a little haughty, this puts me back into balance. The Rambam says, you want to get back to the middle path? You got to go to the extremes. I go to a Sephardi shul, I get embarrassed, I'm back to the middle path. I'm not haughty anymore. So, Rav Chacham Tzvi, Rav Tzvi Ashkenazi, was an Ashkenazi rabbi in a Sephardic shul. So they called him the Ashkenazi. You understand? Okay, the Chacham Tzvi, right? Now, by the way, you probably understand why Rav Yaakov Emden, his son, was so vociferous. He was, you know, in his writings, he goes against people. Wow, maybe because he suffered. In any case, the Chacham Tzvi disagrees with the Shmuz Yaakov. He says, with due respect, your rayas make no sense to me. Because all your rayas are about if you started a mitzvah. If you started doing something. Here you didn't start yet. What did you do? You put it in the menorah. What's putting it in the menorah? It means nothing. Hazmana lav miltahi, as the Gemara paskins. It's a machlokas, a bayi rava, we paskin that indeed, hazmana lav miltahi. So ultimately, what does it mean to put it in the menorah? So you put it in the menorah. You didn't start the mitzvah. I would have understood if you started to light and the oil came in. But you didn't light yet. You put it in the menorah. So I'm sorry for your terrible investment of time in preparing the menorah. But the bottom line is, it's useless halachically. Halachically, the only thing that matters is if you start the mitzvah. So if you started to get a haircut, I understand. But if you're sitting in the barber's chair, that means nothing. Right? If you started to bring the korban, I understand. You don't look for someone who's betara. But if you didn't start yet, why not? And therefore he says, against the Shmus Yaakov, you got yourself oil come in, take your wax candles out, put in the oil. So triage question number two for this morning is, you put in the wax candles because you have no oil and the oil comes in. Do you take the wax candles out despite all your preparations to melt them in perfectly or not? The third and final triage question for this morning is going to be one that has nothing to do with Hanukkah, but has to do with a week of the year in which, very unique, we fast twice. Rosh Hashanah ends, we fast Tzom Gedaliah, and a few days later is Yom Kippur. Well, since I was looking into triage questions, it was a book about doctors and what else. It also talks about medical situations. So I dealt with this, I kept on looking through the book, and I came upon this question. And he quotes an Eshel Avraham. There's two Eshel Avrahams in the Shulchan Aruch in the back. One is written by the Prima Gadim. As one is what we call the Eshel Avraham from Buchach, the same place Shai Agnon came from. That's where Avraham Anshel Warman, his year 1771 to 1840. This is a more Polish kind of way of thinking. And the Eshel Avraham says, Som Gedaliah Safek Chasha Shayadeshi Yitaneh, La Yuchali Tanot B'Yom Kippur. If a person is told by a doctor, listen, you can fast, but once. If you fast twice in the same week, you will get the Sakanas Nefoshos. So should he fast on Tzom Gedaliah or wait till Yom Kippur? What do you all say? Without looking at the source sheet.
Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur is the raisa if you eat its kareis, right? That's what I would have said. What's Tzom Gedaliah? Tzom Gedaliah is written in a pasuk in Zechariah Perek Chet, but the greatest respect, it could very well be that today we fast Tzom Gedaliah because of Ratzu Mitanin. It's like a minhag to fast. A strong minhag, but only a minhag. So, I would have said the same thing. Both the... Ah, very good. Unlike Hanukkah, which is the same 24 hours. Right? And unlike the question of the oil and the wax, which I didn't even start the mitzvah. In this case, it could be very, very different because it's not the same 24 hours. It's not even the same day. It's a few days later. So, Harold, you are 100% correct. You do the mitzvah at hand, and then you deal with the ramifications. Namely, you fast Tzom Gedaliah. Tzom Gedaliah you fast, and not fasting on Yom Kippur. And if on Yom Kippur you're in a sakanas nefashot, you are anus and eat. And he brings various rayas for it. Namely, if you have a mitzvah at hand, you do it. So within the same 24 hours, machloket Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Rav Shlomo Kluger. Within the same day, wax candles versus oil, machlokes. But no machlokes if it's a few days later. Mitzvah ba'al liyatcha, you do it, and then you deal with the fallout. So therefore, both the Eshel Avraham and the Steichemet, nenu himlichu ve'amru, you fast Tzom Gedaliah, and if on Yom Kippur you can't fast, you can't fast. And they bring various rayas from it, and one of them is what we started with. You can go into the boat 3 days before Shabbos, but not beyond the 3 days before Shabbos. We have certain rules and regulations, and ultimately these rules and regulations have to be plugged in here too. You don't have to plan for the future Shabbos if it's more than 3 days. Yom Kippur is more than 3 days after Tzom Gedaliah. So you don't have to plan way before. We know it's on the calendar, but you still don't have to plan that far ahead. Not to mention what Harold said, it's a mitzvah at hand, you do it. It's not the same 24 hours, Hallel and Hanukkah. It's not the same day, wax versus oil. It's a week apart. So we saw today, gentlemen, three triage questions. Same day. We saw the same actual minute, wax versus oil. And finally, same week. What do we do? These are the triage questions I share with you. And indeed, the halachic system is such that these questions will come up because life is not perfect. Yes.
So we were told that if a person manipulates the days regarding Purim and Shushan Purim, and let's say he has good reasons to be in the wrong place, but, you know, his mother wants to see him, and he put himself in the wrong place for Purim, then that's not
okay. Not a bad example. Not a bad example. If there's legitimate reasons, right? Not illegitimate reasons, right? However, there it could very well be that you do celebrate Purim on your Dalit. That's like the default. It could be. That's a little bit of a sophisticated question we have to deal with halachically. Wishing everyone a Freilich and Chanukah. My apologies again for the late start of the shir, and wishing you all best.
Thank you.